word and listen to the spoken word. May we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So, yes, as I said, it is celebrating All Saints today, and what a couple of readings for All Saints. I could preach whole series on both those passages and what it means to be saints in today's world. But I have just focused down on one particular verse to start with, and something that Paul writes in that letter to the church at Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. And that's the phrase that has stuck with me as I've been reflecting on this week. And what it means to be All Saints, what it means to be saints out in the world, what it means to be us as All Saints as a church community, that you may know him better. Over the last couple of months, you'll know we've been exploring discipleship together. We've asked ourselves that question, how close am I to Jesus? And we've thought about different ways that we can get closer to Jesus, that we can get to know God better. A helpful habit of Bible reflection and prayer. Having helpful hands in works of service inside the church and beyond the church. Those helpful conversations we can have about faith and where we are in our faith with other Christians, Christian friends, and where we can talk about our faith with those who don't yet have a faith in Jesus. And why have we been doing this? We've been doing this so that we may know him better. We talk as a church about being called to be closer to Christ and sent to be closer to others. And we have these values of loving God, loving each other, loving our neighbours, celebrating and exploring. We've got them on banners, but they're not. We've got them on our bookmarks in our Bibles, but they're not just about that. If they're just there, then they're not anything really. They have to be at the core of who we are as a community. And I can't live these values out on my own, not in my own strength. The only way I can live by these values is by getting closer to Jesus so that I can follow Jesus more closely, that I can learn from him better. That's what discipleship is, following Jesus and learning from Jesus. And that's what we've been talking about. This is fittingly, on All Saints' Day, as we come to the this is the last one we're going to be doing in this particular series. If you've missed any, they're on the... You can watch the Facebook videos back, or you can listen to the podcast or read them on my blog. If you haven't picked up... I haven't got one. Why haven't I got one? I thought I'd put one... I'm forever getting to the front here and saying, I thought I had one of those. There's a little leaflet about it. There's loads at the back. If you haven't had opportunity to pick one up, please do. I was going to wave one at you to show you what it's like. You must get fed up of me standing up here preaching and saying, I've got something to show you, and going, I haven't got one. Oh, look, Rian's going to... Look, bless you. Thank you. Look. Yes, if you haven't had one of these, looks just like this. It's a discipleship on the front. There's loads at the back. Anyway, and some of you might remember right back at the beginning of this process, one of the things we did was we had a survey in church, and I made you fill it in the sermon slot, and I'll take it away with you. Those of you who are here will remember. And I promised that I would feed back what you told us, didn't I? Those of you here will remember. And really, they were just to get a sense of where we feel we are as a community in our relationship with Jesus and which of these practices we're already engaging with. And we had just under 70 surveys returned. Can I have my first slide, please, Margie? For those of you who like things pictorially, I've got a picture. There you go. We had just a shy of 80 returned. And about 30 of the people who returned it didn't actually fill in the first section about where they felt they were in relation to how close they were to Jesus. But of those who did answer, we had one or two who were exploring Jesus, 8 or 9 growing in Christ. We had a few who marked two things each, which is fine, and 30 people who felt they were close to Christ. That's kind of where we were that morning as a community. And I was intrigued by some of this. I was intrigued by how many of us chose not to answer the question. Maybe it was that none of the descriptions really seemed to fit. There were bits of all of them. Maybe it wasn't something we'd ever been asked to think about before. We weren't sure how to answer. Maybe we were very English and didn't want to claim that we were closer to Jesus than... We know we're meant to be humble, and claiming to be Christ-centered doesn't always sound very humble. I would genuinely be interested in this. So without breaking the anonymity of the survey, if you're comfortable, if that was you, drop me an email. It'd be really helpful for the Mission and Discipleship Action Group as we reflect on this together. And then one of the other things we did was we asked people to indicate on a score from 1 to 10 how often they were involved or did various activities. Now, health warning here. I am completely aware that all this does is measure activity. And Jesus was quite harsh with people who thought that activity equaled discipleship. It doesn't necessarily. I absolutely take that as a health warning. It doesn't show us what's going on in people's hearts, but it perhaps does just give us an indicator of which of these activities people are more naturally engaging with, which ones people might need a bit more support with. So there's another little picture. So the one that was least strong was sharing faith, the number of conversations people have had with other people about faith. But I was interested that at least three quarters of us had at least one spiritual conversation in the last 3 months with someone who wasn't a Christian. I thought that was really encouraging. About half of us are involved in serving the church in some way, at least monthly. About half of us are involved in small groups, meeting together weekly or fortnightly to share our faith and to look at the Bible and pray together. Many of us reflect on the Bible daily or kind of two or three times a week. At least 65% of us are involved in serving outside the church at least monthly. Again, really encouraging numbers. Almost all of us feel like we have at least one person that we can talk with about our faith. And we might want two or three, but actually the fact that most of us have someone is really great. And if you feel like you don't, there are people around who are willing to talk about faith. And over 85% of us pray often. Prayer was actually the strongest one out of all of them. And I found this so encouraging. Overall, we are a prayerful church of people who engage with our Bibles, who serve those around us in the world and support each other in our faith. We talk about it with each other. I was really encouraged by the feedback from this. There are areas we need to grow in, those of sharing faith, in serving each other in church. But it's not as if we're not doing those at all. They're just not quite as much as the others. And if there are those, and of course, for each of us, none of us is average. Each of us will have had our own responses to that, or as I'm standing talking about it now, you'll be sitting there thinking, oh, I'm not sure that's me. But for any of us who feel like, actually, I want to get closer to Jesus, I want to know God better, these are some of the things we can actually do, the habits we can ingrain in our lives that can help with that. That's all right, you can put the slides off now, Margie. And this is all interesting, and I think it will be useful. The Mission and Discipleship Action Group will be using it in planning our sermon series and our small group material over the coming year. We'll be looking in more depth at the data that we've had back and really looking at it carefully. And we'll run the survey again in a couple of years, not because I'm a survey addict, but because actually... there's an old adage that we value what we measure. And actually, if we really value, if we're serious about wanting to get closer to Jesus, if we believe we're being called to be closer to Christ, surely it's worth just taking the temperature every so often and seeing if we're actually doing it. But all the surveys and all the sermon series and all the small group material won't make a blind bit of difference if the Holy Spirit isn't at work. Got to be the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is in our planning and our thinking and will work in what we do. We pray about it at Action Group. We pray about it between. We don't just come up with this stuff because it's good ideas. But we are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. As Paul says, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that enables us to see God better as we open ourselves up to it by doing some of these activities. The Holy Spirit given us as a seal, a down payment of the inheritance that is ours in Jesus. And in this reading from Ephesus, from the letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul describes in the next verse, he goes on to describe three things that the Holy Spirit helps us to see in verse 18 and 19. The hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power. Hope, inheritance, and riches, and power. Hope, inheritance, and power. The hope of our calling is the antidote to the despair that we may be tempted to feel when we look at the world around us, when we see a whole load of pain and difficulty in the wider world, when we listen to the news, and in our own personal lives, perhaps. Before we came to Jesus, we had no future. We were dead in our sins. But we're not dead anymore. We're alive. And we turned from our sin and our selfishness and decided that we would give our lives over to God. Then we were freed. We were in darkness. Now we are in light. We have been given hope because we know what God has already done for us. So we have hope that the same can and will be done for others. Now, we can't see it all yet. And that can be discouraging. But we do have strong grounds for expecting that we will see it. Our hope has strong foundations. The reality of what God has already done and the reality of who God is. That's what our hope is founded on. That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to see. The riches of his inheritance in his people. That's us. Have a little look around you. Come on, seriously, have a little look around you. Okay, all these people, these faces, this community of faith are the glorious riches of Christ's inheritance. They're these people who are you're sat amongst. You are the glorious riches of Christ's inheritance. Later on in the passage, Paul describes the church as his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is just a mind-bending mystery. You see, God is complete, who fills everything in every way. But a head isn't a head without a body. So somehow we are the fullness of Christ. We are the glorious inheritance. All the saints through all the history and the whole of the world are Christ's inheritance. But that includes us here at All Saints. We are Christ's inheritance. I know that we aren't perfect. Well, I'm not. I know that we wind each other up. I know that we fall out. But for all that, somehow, we are this glorious inheritance, and we live out of that. And one of the things that should be seen in our lives as that inheritance is the power of God for those who believe. Now, in my experience, Christians tend to be a bit unsure about power. We know that we're meant to be humble, and that Jesus seemed to be pretty unimpressed with powerful people in his teaching. We heard that in the gospel reading that we heard a little while ago. So we're unsure, suspicious, if you like, of power. But we also have to recognize that Jesus wielded power. He healed people. He taught with authority. He freed people from the oppression of evil. God is so powerful that death could not hold Jesus, and he was raised to life again. That is the power that we are to recognize and to expect to see at work in our lives and in our communities. Paul talks about being weak so that God's power can be made perfect. And we are weak vessels. But we are weak so that God's power can work, so that we don't get in the way. And we shouldn't be ashamed of wanting to see God's power at work in our lives and the lives of those around us and in the lives of those whom we serve. Because it is there. And it's not power that dominates or pushes down. It's power that frees and raises up. And this hope and this inheritance and this power, they're not just for us to taste and to enjoy. They are for us to share. They're for us to share with each other and to share with those beyond the church. And as we share them, I believe that we're part of God working together all things for God's purposes. As we reach out to those in despair, those who are lonely, isolated, guilty, lost, or afraid, as we reach out to them with the hope of love and forgiveness and healing and a home, as we bring the hope of the inheritance of the kingdom of God into their lives, then we will see it even more clearly ourselves. As we reach out to those who are poor, those who feel like they are worth nothing, who have lost everything, who have a big hole in the center of their lives that refuses to be filled, whatever they try and shovel into it. As we tell them of the riches of the inheritance of the kingdom of God, that they can be part of this riches, so we will appreciate their worth even more deeply. As we reach out to those who are weak, who can't lift their own heads, who have been trodden down and beaten up, who have no voice and no influence, as we invite the power of God to work in their lives, to free them and to straighten their backs, then we will be amazed at the things that can happen. You see, discipleship isn't a load of activities. It is following and learning from Jesus and putting into practice what he teaches us with the power and authority of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. It isn't a leaflet or a sermon series or a survey. I believe those things can help, but they are not it. Discipleship is a way of life, a life that is focused on getting closer to Jesus and is shaped by that desire, that focus. So as we walk that way together, it's my hope that we can join Paul in praying for each other, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. Amen.